you'd turn with us the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3. I'd like to read a few verses this morning and get to where the Lord had me preach today. Found in 1 Peter, chapter number 3. Verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation or your behavior of the wife. I want to say something to ladies this morning that are living with unsaved spouses. If you let your light shine and do that which our great God would bid you to do, we've yet to find out just really what God can do. He said, while adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called and you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for the goodness of God. We thank you for the grace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, I stand in a place this morning that I dare to stare alone. Dear God, I cannot stand here by myself. I pray you'd help me and use me to be a blessing. I'm a needy preacher today. And I pray now that you'd bring to my heart and my mind the things I've studied this week. Help me to be a blessing to the people of God. If there be one here lost, I pray you'd deal with their hearts by old-time Holy Ghost conviction. And, oh God, I pray that you'd use this place to be a light, a city set on a hillside. Lord, that point men, women, boys, and girls unto Christ. Help those on our prayer list today. God, our mission friends, I pray you'd help them and bless them. Use us now. We'll be grateful. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. I'm interested in verse 12 today, and I want to go through the Bible and I want to lay out a process of where the Spirit of God has made a mention. The Bible said, for the eyes of the Lord over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And I want to preach on this subject today, on the face of Christ. The face of Christ. Now, I want you to know, and there's never been a photographer that took a picture of Christ. There's never been an artist that painted a portrait of Christ. We have some men of some similes maybe, but They never did see Christ in order to paint His picture. Matter of fact, the most picture that people know of Christ was a Roman prisoner pulled out of a jail cell. And as that man painted the image of him, people portray that to be Christ, but that is not Christ. This morning in our Bible, we see the images of the face of Christ. No photographer never took a picture. No artist ever painted a portrait. No historian never really gave in-depth details to His face. The Spirit of God has pinned down some things in Matthew 17. I want us to look at His glorious face in His transfiguration. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 17. Looking at the face of Christ. Matthew 17, can we go through the Gospels and maybe we can glean from the faces of Christ. The Bible said, after 6 days in Matthew 17, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, His brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And He was transfigured before them. And here is our word. And His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with Him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If Thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for Thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Here in Matthew's Gospel, we get one of the first glimpses of His glorious face in His transfiguration. Here you'll notice as He was talking with 2 characters that had died in this world and went to His world, and they were called back out of that world into this world. There was Moses and Elijah. Could you imagine the meeting on that hillside that day with Peter, James, and John? They looked and there appeared 2 Old Testament prophets. The Bible said that they had a conversation. They were speaking about His decease in Jerusalem. Can I tell you, before Calvary ever happened, the Lord Jesus knew He was headed to Calvary's cross, and all heaven knew He was going. For God had a plan for me, and He had a plan for you. And so here we see in Matthew's Gospel His glorious face in His transfiguration. He was unveiled. His glory shone forth. There's nobody's face shines like His face. But then secondly, not only do we see His glorious face in transfiguration, but turn with me, if you would, in the right of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and 36, and let's look at His agonizing face in supplication. Matthew 26 and 36, the Lord now is headed to Calvary. Matter of fact, the day He was born in this world, He was not born to live. But yet He come, He was born to die for the sins of this old wicked world. Now we see the plan of God is being mapped out in His life. He leaves that hillside of transfiguration. But now we see Him here in the garden in Matthew 26 and 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. That means an olive press. It's a hard place. It's a place at Gethsemane where those olives were pressed and oil was made. Can I tell you, just because you're a child of God does not mean that you won't find yourself in a hard place, in a squeezed out place. But you always remember this, at Gethsemane experiences, there'll be things that only Gethsemane can produce in our lives. Oh my, our Lord, we see Him in Matthew 26:36. He said to His disciples, "Set ye here while I go and pray yonder." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Isn't it amazing that you've met some men in this walk of life that only get to go where others cannot go with Christ? You know something? I know a man has to apply self. But I'm going to tell you, God does that which pleases Him. You'd went all through the Bible. You never would have picked out Peter, James, and John to be the closest comrades of Christ. But yet Jesus loved them. Can I tell you today, sinner, Jesus loves you. And therefore the Bible said He took with Him Peter, James, and John. They began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And He went a little farther, and He fell on His face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." Here we see His agonized face in supplication. You'll notice, first of all, that Christ was aware. Christ knew where He was headed. This was not a scheme that the devil had set up at Calvary. But there God had gave this whole world His Son. And there He was headed to Calvary's tree and at Gethsemane Garden in a hard and a stressful place. Jesus prayed. He was aware. But notice in your Bible, He was very much alone. You see, there's some places others can't go with you in Gethsemane. I think in this day and this hour, we're so blessed to have people that will pray with us and pray for us. But can I tell you that Christ went in Gethsemane alone? And you'll notice that He became exceedingly sorrowful. There we'll see Christ, no doubt in His face, that His face was great agonizing, and it was a place in supplication. Can I say? Because it was because of the weight of sin. It was because of the wages of sin. And it was because of the wrongs of sin. You see, in this cup that God placed upon His Son, it was not so much Calvary that was the heavy cup, but it was your sin and my sin that God placed in the cup upon the Lamb of God. And He became sorrowful in heart. Can I tell you, sin grieves the heart of God. In the average Baptist church this morning, they've run into the dramatizing, the formalizing. They've left off the Word of God and they gave a feel-good, be-good message. But honey, let me tell you, if you carry this Bible and you get close to this Jesus, there will be Gethsemane experiences because the sin of the body and the sin of the flesh, we're not home yet. But thank God, one glorious day, we're going to drop this body of sin and we're going to where sin will be no more. We see in the garden how agonizing Gethsemane was. Matter of fact, the Bible speaks that He went a little farther and fell on His face. Now in the faces of Christ, there's a glorious face in His transfiguration. There's a grievous face in His supplication. Notice now in Matthew 26:63, you'll see His insulted face in persecution. Matthew 26:63. The Bible said, but Jesus held His peace. It's hard to do that when people's reaching out to you. The high priest answered and said, I adjure thee by the living God that they tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, Hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of glory. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye've heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He's guilty of death. And here's our phrase in verse 67. Then did they spit in his face. You know, one of the writers that is, he was writing, he simply said this, Here we see his insulted face and persecution. They were looking upon him as more despicable than the very ground that they spit upon. It's a low thing when somebody spits in your face. Can I ask you? What love he shown. What love he shared there that he could have called at his discretion any time. 12 legions of angels could have zapped them. You say, I'm like Jesus. When they spit in your face, what do? I tell you what the Lord done. The Lord was Christ. And His insulted face and persecution. But fourthly, the verse don't stop there. For the Bible said in verse number 63... It goes on in there to 67. Then did they spit in his face and they buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hand. Now, his insulted face in persecution. Notice, if you would, turn to the right. Go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verse number 60. His glorious face in transfiguration. His grievous faith in supplication. His insulted face in persecution. They spat upon him. But in Mark 14 and 60, they done something to his face. For the Bible simply said this in Mark 14, verse number 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But he held his peace. And I've noticed this, when you got great peace with Christ, you can hold on to yours. He answered nothing. See, that's the problem a lot of times in our persecutions. We don't have nothing to hold on to. But if you have the peace of Christ in you, it'll give you something to hold on to this morning. Thank God I'm not holding on to the things that I have. I'm not holding on to the things I want. But I'm holding on to the One that lives in me this morning that gives me the peace that floods my heart. Again, the high priest asked him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witnesses? You've heard the blasphemy. What thank ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. Now here it is, verse 65. I want you to notice his covered face in conversation. Some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hand. You know what they were saying in the parallel Gospels when they covered his face? They came by and put their hands on the face of Christ and smote him. And this is what they said when they covered his face. Who smote thee if you're who you say you are? Can I tell you, you may think Christ is blinded to your situation this morning. But the all-seeing eye of God. There'll come a day at the judgment book of God when these that pronounced Him guilty will stand before Him and He'll call their names out as they smote Him by the palms of their hands and they'll find out that His face was not covered that day. You see, America thinks they're doing a lot of things by covering up. But when God's face is uncovered, covered face in conversation. Look, if you would, in verse 65, the same chapter, there's the struck face in opposition. Mark 14, 65, some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him. What a slap in the face. They're the one that gave them the breath of life. They slapped him in his face. I wonder how many times you slapped Christ in his face. As God has given you a word and you said, Lord, that's not right. You went out and you've partook in a sin that you know was harmful and hurtful. You knew God didn't want you to do it, but you did it anyway. So many times we've buffeted Him. And I can tell you, there's nobody here in this building that's not guilty this morning. The face of Christ. In the Gospels, we see His glorious face at Transfiguration. What a day that had to have been. Peter, James, and John seen Him unveil His glory. Seen Moses and Elijah appear from the faraway country. His agonized face in supplication in the garden, He prayed alone. Matter of fact, He done that because of my sin and your sin. The insulted face in persecution, they spat upon Him. His covered face in conversation, they covered it and said, tell us who smoked you. The struck face in opposition. But that's what I want to get to this morning. Luke 9:51. I want you to look at His set face in determination. Luke 9:51. Came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. Watch your Bible. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. They did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. We see his struck face in opposition, but now we see his set face in determination. What commitment. What courage. What calmness. I want to remind you here at his set face where Christ has been. Where Christ is headed. Christ walked in this world for some 30 odd years. We know very much about him in the silent years. At 12 years old, he was about the Father's business in the temple. We pick him up as a grown carpenter. We find him now doing good and doing right. He come for the sins of this world. Pilate's hall got upset because he come to fulfill the law. They're putting him to the cross. Jesus came with his face set steadfastly. You know why people fall out of church? Because they don't have their face set steadfastly. Do you notice when this great storm come to Christ? The greatest storm of his life. He's just taken of the bitter cup, your sin and my sin. Now he's going to Calvary's hill. He knows what is awaiting him. And the Bible said they looked and he had set his face. I like what the old prophet Isaiah had to say about him in Isaiah 50, in verse number 6. I'll read that. Isaiah 50. Verse number 6, he said, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Honey, let me tell you, the best way to get through your storm of life this morning is not to go sideways, not to run away, but to hit it straight on with the peace of God in your soul. For let me tell you, you only get through the storms facing the storm. He said it, say, how many people have you seen when hard times come, they turned? They turned. Jesus said, any man puts his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Our Master persevered. If there's ever been a generation that needs to hold the bloodstained banner and say, dear God Almighty, we're headed to Canaan's land. It is in this day and this hour. He set his face. As a flint. Brother Ken, let me ask you something. How have you made it them many years? Number one, by the grace of God, but I've set my face as a flint. It'll work when you're persecuted. It'll work when you're spit upon. It'll work when people are putting unkind words on you. It'll even work when they're putting their hands on you. Yes, I'm redneck. Is anybody here? But let me tell you, honey, there's coming a day Jesus will have the last say. And until then, my heart will go on singing and trusting what the Solomon said, he is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. He is the bright and the morning star. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Without Him, there is no living. Without Him, there is no peace. Set your face. When your children's whining, set your face as a flint. When the wall's going against you, set your face as a flint. And realize, I love what the old writer had to say about where Christ set his face as a flint. He said, what great commitment, what great courage,
Somebody said Jesus was a little weak man. Jesus wasn't a weak man. He was a meek man. He took a whip and He turned over tables and He run that crowd out of the Father's house. Who ever told you a man of God's not to have guts about what he's doing? He's not a hireling. He stands with his face as a flint upon the last orders from headquarters, knowing that God has put something in him. Has God put something in you? Oh, our Lord didn't tuck tail and run. At this point, where would me and you have been if the Lord had not set his face as a flint and went to Calvary's tree? Honey, let me tell you, that cross didn't save you. You hear me? Jesus saved you. An empty cross, there is no forgiveness. Jesus went. He got on the tree and shed His blood. He didn't spill His blood. He gave His blood. He set His face as a plant. He was God-man. In the garden, He was so much man, the writers say, within His natural flesh, that such agony and terror come upon Him, but yet as the God-man, He had never known sin. But when He felt your sin and my sin pressed upon Him, for whom that had never known sin and never did sin, and could not have sinned because He's God, but when He took your sin and my sin, we see His agonized face in the garden. This morning, as them little children come around, I've got preachers in so many areas. This is what they say, Brother Ken. Have you ever seen it like this? If there's ever been a generation that better learn to set their face as a flint, it better be this generation. Because there's a generation coming along. What's made you tuck tail and run? Yourself? It's because you think too much of yourself. Jesus didn't think a lot of Himself, but He was totally, totally committed to the Father's will. Where me and you get in trouble is we put the will of God to the side and we put our will in play. But not our Lord. I'm glad He set His face as a flint. This morning, I want to close with this thought. The Bible said, not only His struck face in opposition, His set face in determination, but lastly, we see His marred face in substitution. Isaiah 52. Turn with me there if you would. Underline this in your Bible. I'm going to ask Miss Emily if she'd come play for me this morning. Isaiah 52. You say, Brother Ken, anybody ever hurt your feelings? I sure have. Matter of fact, I hurt my feelings more than most people hurt my feelings. You ever notice how that Christ held His peace? Do you have peace inside you that you can hold on to? I'm talking about dying. It's not fun getting old. Used to make fun of old people. It's no fun when you look out a window Think about all the things that you used to do. Something go to dawning on you after you get older. Some things that really matters in life. Thank God for our forefathers that had set their face like a flint. Through the good times and the hard times. Man that preaches to the largest crowd in America knows nothing about Christ. Knows nothing about suffering. He's hoodwinked America. His name's Joel Osteen. When you deny that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, you need to get out of the preaching business. This is what they say. Send all your money. Love God. I pay my tithes and more than my tithes. And I love God more than I've ever loved Him. But I'm struggling with things that I've never struggled with. But I've noticed that turning from it, I can't get better. I've got to face it. I've got to hold on the pieces within me and face my storms. Because when the ship is turned, the waves are filling up. But if you keep it headed toward the storm, my wife said something this week, spoke volumes to me. She said it may be, seems to be the darkest time in your life. But it could be that He's got you deeper under His wings. Got you sheltered in a place. I'm glad we've got a God that set His face as a flint. His marred face in substitution. Remember this, I'm done preaching. Isaiah 52. Verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. There the rose of Sharon, Brother Randall. We see his face marred in substitution. Gave his back to the smiter's post. Yet he paid the price for your sin and my sin, that he may be your Savior. I want to open this altar this morning. Anything you need is